Welcome, you all. This is Baron Baptiste. Welcome to Disrupt the Drift. If you're watching on YouTube, please this video, and we drop about two episodes a week on YouTube and podcasts everywhere. David, my friend, how you doing, man?
Man, I am excited about this next question. I can't wait to get into it.
It's really powerful. It has to do with having bigger purpose in life, because when you lack purpose, you lack power, you lack freedom, you lack passion and meaning, deeper meaning in life. So here's the question. It's a good one. I feel like I lack real purpose in life because mostly I just live for myself day to day, and it feels like something is missing. Yet I know there's more possible for me to grow into. How can committing to a bigger purpose in my life help me to grow into who I want to be? Yeah, it's called being up to or be committed to something bigger than yourself, something greater than yourself. In a certain sense, all true leaders are heroes, or better said, people who lead, being a leader that leads themselves, are heroes. And if you look at true heroes, a hero is an ordinary person, but they're given being and acting by something greater than themselves, a purpose bigger than themselves. What do you see, David?
Yeah, I'm reminded of the saying, if you aren't for yourself, who will be? But if you're only for yourself, what are you? At the beginning of the question, she says, whoever it is, it's he or she, it sounds like a woman to me. So I'll just base it on that. They say, I'm just living for myself. Okay, so you have to be for yourself. You've said that too, Baron. You say self first. Now, there's a healthy way to look at that, and there's an unhealthy way to look at it. And a greater purpose, believe it or not, has to do with service. And so if you're just self-serving, it's a dead-end street. It goes nowhere. You get to the end of that street, you ride your bike around in a circle. And that's why the person is feeling a lack of meaning in their life. And so what is the purpose for which you live if it's only to take care of number one? Then the question is, what have you become? You've just become this thing that consumes. But the good thing is that there's a part of this person that says, I want more. And so how do you find that more? You do have to find something in which you do serve something greater, some thing, some purpose, some mission greater than just taking care of number one. Now, the question is, how do you determine that? That's really a hard one right there, because there's a billion things that you can do in this world. But then it goes back to the question, what do you love to do? And that's what my dad always told me, do something you love to do. So I did all the things I love to do. I built houses. I went surfing. I did all the things that appeal to me, until those things no longer appeal to me. And then I move from that to the next thing that started to appeal to me. Now I become a writer, and I become a communicator and a lecturer. And I spend a lot of time contemplating the meaning of life. And for me, there's a huge component of the purpose of my life in discovering the meaning of life. And I've said to people before, look, the meaning of life is actually too big. So the question then goes to, what's the meaning of your life? And so you have the choice to put that meaning in there. It's like what you put in your refrigerator. It's up to you what you put in your refrigerator. Nobody's telling you what to put in your refrigerator. Nobody's telling you what to put in terms of meaning inside of your being. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's without the passion that comes from being committed to something bigger than yourself, you are unlikely to persevere in the valley of tears. That is an inevitable experience in the lives of all true leaders and people who are up to a bigger cause in life. The valley of tears, those times that things go awry, the times when nothing goes right, when there is no way, no help is available, nothing there except what you can do to find something in yourself, the strength to persevere in the face of impossible odds, kind of thing. The strength to persevere in the face of impossible odds comes from being up to something bigger than yourself, the self that just goes along day to day and exists for me, myself, and I, but having a cause greater than yourself. Because being committed to something bigger than yourself in that way leaves you with whatever it is, the passion, the energy, the inspiration, the resiliency to not sell out on your dreams or not to sell out on your calling in life. That's something bigger. What comes to mind here is crucibles. You know that word, David? Crucible, that's an experience that leaves many people, and you have great leaders in life, great men, great women. It's through the crucible, which is an experience that leaves many committed to something bigger than themselves. You hear of someone, people get cancer, or people have some kind of life close to death experience in life, or experience huge pain and loss of some kind that leaves them questioning their lives. And they're like, okay, if I get this second chance at life, I've been given a second chance at life, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with it? Another example is like a midlife crisis. At some point in life, we all stop measuring time from the beginning of our lives and start measuring it from the end. And that's, you know, how much time is left? How much time do we have left in this life? Mm-hmm. And I think that can serve as a kind of a crucible point in life where you take that kind of rock bottom. And no matter how good your life is, or no matter how good you look in the eyes of others, or no matter how good you've gotten your family to look, or no matter how much wealth or fame or fitness or power you've amassed, you'll experience a profound lack of fulfillment at some point, some kind of bottom, rock bottom. And that incompleteness, that emptiness and pain expressed by that commonly occurring question that comes up for most people, which is this all there is? Is this all there is? I've done all the right things. I've amassed whatever, success. And is this all there is? But that's a critical point. And I think the person who sent in this question is like at that place. They're living their life and it's on a horizontal plane. And it's, wait, is this all there is? But you sent, no, there's something more. There's something greater. There's some kind of bigger possibility for who I can be and become in my life.
Yeah. Now, commitment also is a big part of that, because if they're going to do anything, you have to decide that you want to do something for whatever reason. And I would say do something you love. But if you can't do something you love, whatever you take on, do it the best that you can. Commit to it. And because the commitment to that gets you up in the morning, it gets you for your first cup of coffee. When you look out the window, your mind begins to move toward the thing that you're going to do, whatever it may be. You start to orient yourself toward the meaning and the purpose that's contained within what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. My dad used to tell me in New York City, they used to have street sweepers. And he said to me, if you're going to do, let's just say you end up having to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can be. Put your mind, heart, soul into whatever it is you're doing. So I think that commitment part of it is a lot of people are afraid to commit. And that's living for yourself means they're creating this comfort zone, this bubble in which all their whole life revolves around making sure that their little needs are met. And so if you can't get out of that space of meeting your own needs, you got problems. You've got to just see something beyond these little needs that you're furnishing and nurturing and caring for.
Yeah. I think it leads to each of us must make that personal choice to be a hero or not, to be committed to something bigger than ourselves or not, to go beyond the way we wound up being in our lives and have the purpose of our lives and our careers and what we do in the world be about something that makes a difference and contributes or not. In other words, to be a leader, someone who is a leader who leads themselves or not. And not everyone will choose that path. And that is certainly okay. I have a quote here by George Bernard Shaw. Mm-hmm. And it's from his play, Man and Superman. And I think it captures this idea of being committed to something bigger than oneself. So I'll read it.
Okay.
This is the true joy in life. The being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. The being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it off to future generations.
Boy, that's profound. That's beautiful. Pretty the nice. Passion. So his whole perspective on life is you must have passion for it. You have to have this desire and appreciation every day of your life. And most people don't have that. And this is where they languish. They just linger. They stop moving downstream and they stay in access. The eddy. Well, of course you do. You have
you
access.
You have to be ready or not. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Live with it, right? But I have the definition of crucible right here.
Yes.
It says a crucible is, by definition, a transformative experience through which an individual comes to a new or an altered sense of identity.
Army has a saying, an army of one, and what they have to do is they have to break you down and rebuild you. So when you become a soldier, you're not just there doing what you would otherwise be doing. You're not just there to take care of your needs. You're there to serve a bigger purpose as a part of a bigger purpose. And there's something about being broken down and then rebuilt as a new person. There's something powerful about that concept. But you, like I said before, a lot of people are like in this container, and the container is a container of selfishness, and they're comfortable and yet they're uncomfortable. There's this weighing and measuring all the time. I can't stand this anymore. But if I do this, then that will happen. You got to get out of that weighing and measuring of whether or not there's something that's greater for you. You've got to actually begin to scan the horizon and look for whatever it is that where you fit in. You've got to do that. And you've got to then get to that commitment place where you say, okay, I'm going to give this my best try. And your best try means you don't just say, okay, if I don't like it, I'll give up. You say, I'm going to give this my best try. And you mean it. And you go as far as you can go until you can't go any further, until you say, okay, I've done that. And now I'm going to do something else.
Yeah. 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 You know, I've gone through several crucible kind of experiences before I developed into more of, let's say, just even in my work world, hit some crucible points there, hit rock bottom, hit the floor, and not because things weren't working. If I looked around, it was like things were working, things were successful, things were going and growing. But I personally hit the wall. And I was at a certain point, I was too proud to face it because things were working and going so well that there was like a pride and identity attached to it. So
yes.
I was too proud to face it.
And, yeah.
But yet I felt like I was in a trap from which I couldn't escape. And the purpose of my efforts was not just clear to me. Like, where was I going? It felt circular. I knew there was a mountain I was climbing with no top. But I kept going around in circles around a certain plateau kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And my lack of passion, using that word, I had this passion originally to spread yoga, Baptiste yoga, across the planet. And on the business side, and all the business that went along with that, and that original purpose to spread yoga, Baptiste yoga across the planet, and then all the business that went along with that troubled me. I was unfulfilled. I was like, again, hit a wall. Felt like I was in a trap at a certain point. And I found myself becoming more concerned with appearances, like outer appearances, being liked, looking good, not looking foolish, I became more concerned about those things than just being my authentic self and following my authentic calling. And I kept thinking about, though, I remember at that time, I kept thinking my original vision was, I never, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I don't want to be anyone's leader. Or did I say that in another podcast? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know I say that because that's always been, I never wanted to be anyone's guru, never wanted to be anyone's leader. And when I looked around, I was growing a lot of followers by default because I was out there spreading Baptiste yoga across the planet and in a really effective way. And it was spreading, but that's not who I wanted to be. And I had this kind of bigger vision of, and it was a crucible kind of moment because I hit rock bottom. And I began just engaging in authentic self-reflection and inquiry, as well as I cried out to God, please show me the way. What am I missing here? What am I not seeing? I know that there's something else. And out of that, I realized at a certain point, it hit me. I didn't want to be a leader with a lot of followers. What I wanted to do and be is a leader who caused other leaders, if that makes sense, to develop and train other leaders to do what I do. And I started doing that. And that shifted the whole kind of mission and vision of my business. And I developed trainings that best in class, best in the world, they would go out and lead these train. My point is, the most fulfilling thing to me was to see these other leaders grow into what I was doing and do it as effectively or more effectively as I ever did it. And that was very fulfilling. It was like passing the torch.
Yeah.
And I could stand shoulder to shoulder with people just like you and I do here. And that became fulfilling. And then they would open studios in their cities and they were the most popular studios. They were popular because they were making a real difference for people's lives. And it wasn't through me. It was through them. I was the genesis, but I handed off the torch. That became that. But I had to go through that crucible period of time, the crucible, and hit bottom. And the person who sent in this question, consider where you're at is a crucible kind of moment.
Yeah.
It's a pivotal moment in time for you. If you open yourself up to your creator, if you open yourself to real, genuine inquiry, be authentic about it and get real and have a come to Jesus with yourself. And the thing with getting committed is you have to be responsible. And a lot of people, if you don't want to get committed because that means you'll have to be at issue with your comfort.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. What you just laid out was very deep and very, I'm grateful for what you just said.
Yeah. You all, thank you again for listening. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, please, this video helps push it out, the algorithms, so others can watch and listen as well. So do the things and you will have the power, as Emerson said. Stay blessed, stay true, stay bold. And until next time, stay at peace in yourself and share the show.